to be like. We went over yesterday the Prophet Nuh and Prophet Ibrahim. We explained what they did. When we started on the story of Prophet Musa, and we finished the session with where after the Prophet went to Pharaoh and expressed that he was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked or told him that he should accept the religion, accept the message after seeing the signs, what Pharaoh did was he asked for the people to gather all of the magicians in the city to try to prove Musa wrong and try to say that the magic that Musa has had has brought its magic and it could be dealt with by the magicians and they can do something even more amazing than what he can. And we read that when the magicians came, they started throwing the ropes. It seemed like to people that there were snakes going around. And Prophet Musa threw his cane by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It turned into a snake and it ate all of those ropes up. And the magicians themselves realized that this is not magic. So they said, they fell, did sujood and said, we believe in the God of Moses and Harun. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaytanir rajim, Surah Yunus, verse 83. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ من قومه على خوف من فرعون وملئهم أن يفتنهم. After that happened, and Moses went to his people, there were two tribes there in Egypt. The people of Pharaoh, his tribe, his family, and then there were Bani Israel. The ruling class were Pharaoh's people. Bani Israel were being oppressed there. So after he went to Pharaoh and he didn't accept, Prophet Musa went to his people. It says that only a number of the youth from his tribe accepted the call. Why? Why did the rest of them not accept? Because they were afraid. عَلَى خَوْفٍ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَنْ يَفْتِنَهُمْ. Because they were afraid that Pharaoh was going to give them trouble. وَإِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ لَعَالٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. He was powerful on the earth and he was musrif. He did israf. Moses said, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Now that you've accepted and you've believed in God, then you should rely on Him. You should do tawakkul. This hardship, you're being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't seem like you're going to be able to achieve anything. But rely on Allah and He will help. They said, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. They accepted and they said, we rely on Allah. And they prayed that, O Allah, don't make us what the oppressing people will oppress. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And save us and free us from these disbelieving people. وأوحينا إلى موسى وأخيه أن تبوأ لقومكما بمصر بيوتا واجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة. At this point, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to start praying. Make your houses into your qibla and start praying towards their direction. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then Prophet Musa makes a prayer according to this verse. He prays that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after doing his best to try to guide them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending his different signs that have been mentioned in the verses of the Holy Quran, about 11 different signs were shown, but they didn't accept. At that point, Prophet Musa started praying and saying that you have, he says this, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأُهُ زِينَةً وَأَمَّالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُذِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. You've given them, O Allah, you've given Pharaoh and his people the beauties of the life on this, in this world, and they are misleading people. رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. He prayed basically for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come and get them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا فَاسْتَقِيمَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِّ سَبِيلَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. You guys, hold on tight, be steadfast, your prayer is answered. وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنَ. They went to the Nile, the river opened up by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bani Israel crossed through. وَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ. Pharaoh and his people came after them to get them. بَغْيًا وَعَدْوَى حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرْقُ. They went into the Nile. They thought that if Bani Israel could go through, then we can as well. They weren't thinking at that point that, okay, wait a second, this is something unusual, and maybe the water could go back as soon as we enter. So they went in to try to follow Musa. The water fell through, and they started drowning. At that point, it says that Pharaoh called out, قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلُ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That I believe, he called out, I believe that there is no God except for the God that Bani Israel believe in. This is where he says, I want to start believing. And it's interesting, he doesn't say, I believe in God. He says, I believe in whatever Bani Israel believe in. And it's still, you know, he's saying something, but it's not still true belief. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer is, Al-An, now, now you're saying, you believe? وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So what are we trying to get out of this story? The Prophet came, explained his message, showed them the signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a few signs to show Pharaoh in that first session, okay? The king, the hand that was glowing, and they didn't accept. More signs came, they didn't accept. Bani Israel even left. If Pharaoh and them wouldn't have followed, this punishment wouldn't have come to them, right? They didn't stop. It wasn't that they just didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe themselves and they were stopping others from believing. Said, no, you have to stay here. Bani Israel has got to stay here. And you have to follow us. You can't believe in God. You have to listen to whatever we say, not whatever Musa says that God tells him. So when did the punishment come? After rejecting all of that, continuing their animosity towards the Prophet. I was mentioning last night that up to Prophet Musa, we don't see anywhere in the Holy Quran that it discusses any battle between the prophets and the believers in those prophets with the non-believers. All we see is this, that the Prophet comes, explains the message, tries to reason with them that what you're believing in, what you're practicing, doesn't make sense. They don't accept. They try to stop others from accepting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them by different ways. Pharaoh is drowned in the river. Sometimes storms were sent, earthquakes, different things. That's what we see. With Prophet Musa, this is where we find first the tracks of the traces of battles between the believers and the non-believers. Recite the salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ma'idah, verse 21, after they left Egypt, they crossed the river, they came to this side. They're commanded to go to Jerusalem, to that area of Jerusalem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, يَا قَوْمِ ادْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. It says, enter the city, the blessed and sacred city that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you to enter, and don't turn your backs. They said, قالوا يا موسى إن فيها قوما جبارين وإنا لن ندخلها حتى يخرجوا منها فإن يخرجوا منها فإنا داخلون. In that city that you're telling us to go to, there are people, there's dangerous people in there. If we want to go over there and live, they're not going to allow us. We're going to have to fight them. We don't want to do that. We'll stay back here. You guys go do the fighting. You and your God go do the fighting. We'll sit back here. We won't enter until you get rid of those people. This is the majority of the people that have believed in the Prophet, okay? Then it says, قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا ادخلوا عليهم الباب فإذا دخلتموه فإنكم غالبون. Two of the tribe, two people from this, from Bani Israel, says, من الذين يخافون. This is interesting. Two of the people that had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the ones that said, no, we have to listen to what the Prophet has said. This fear of Allah is something that is key in our practices. These two said, "Udkhulu alayhim al-bab." You guys enter the city. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ. If you guys enter the city, you'll be the winners. You'll be able to overcome them. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you believe in God, then rely on Him and He will help. Then the rest of the tribe again said, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا. We will never enter that city while these people are there. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You and your Lord go and fight. We're sitting right here. So anyhow, the story goes on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them and says, no, just place the sacred place that I had prepared for you and I'm telling you to go in. You don't want to do it, then for the next 40 years you're not even allowed in that city. Anyhow, this is where we see the first trace of the believers having to fight non-believers. Now, because I said there's too many prophets to go over all of their stories, okay, in the Holy Quran, so what we're trying to do was go over the main five, okay, the Ulul Azm prophets. So I won't go over the stories of Prophet Dawood and Sulaiman, just briefly. The stories of these two prophets has also been mentioned in the Holy Quran. And those two, as we know, they are prophets of Bani Israel. Okay. And they had commands to fight the non-believers as well. So what some try to say about our religion, that Islam is this violent religion or it encourages, you know, fighting and this and that, this nobody, how come nobody talks about that about Judaism? That's where it started. Right? It started, Prophet Musa had the first command, according to the verses that we have. He had the first command to go and fight. Prophet Dawood, you all have heard the story of David and Goliath, famous story. Everyone talks about it. They make cartoons and movies about it, but nobody says that, oh, this is Judaism. Anyhow, don't want to get into that too much. After Prophet Musa, we have Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. We don't have too much in the Holy Quran about his story. We usually come across the story of Prophet Isa's childhood. Okay, his mother, Mary, and how he was born. That's what we normally have mentioned in the Holy Quran a number of times. Okay, but about his message, what happened, how he delivered it, what the commands were and things, there's not too much in the Holy Quran. In one place, Surah Ali Imran, verses 49 through 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. After explaining his birth and saying that وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the book, gave him wisdom. The books were Tawrat and Injil. It says this, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ورسولا إلى بني إسرائيل. He was a messenger to Bani Israel. His message was this. He told them, أني قد جئتكم بآية من ربكم. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. أني أخلق لكم من الطين كهيئة الطير فأنفق فيه فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. The signs are the following. I will make out of mud, out of clay, something that looks like a bird, and then I breathe in it, and by the command of Allah, it turns into a bird. It starts flying. وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَثَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. I cure the sick, leprosy. وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And I bring the dead back to life with the permission of Allah.
وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ.
And I will tell you, I can tell you without being in your house, that what you're doing, what you're eating in your house, and what you've stored in your houses. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ.
And the ones, and these signs, all of these are signs for you if you believe in God.
وَمُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ من التوراة ولأحل لكم بعد الذي حرم عليكم.
Another sign is that I
مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة. That what I say does not contradict the previous book. What I say is in accordance with the Torah that you have. I'm not giving you this totally different message that is contradicting the Torah.
وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ.
On your practices, you have certain things that have you been banned to do because of, you know, Bani Israel, they played a lot of tricks on their practical laws. They were told not to fish on Saturdays, on Sabbath. What they did was they made little ponds beside the river. On Saturday, they would open the door, that little entrance from the river, for the fish to come in, and then they would close it, and then after Saturday, they would come and take their fish out. Started playing tricks on their practical laws. So, more difficult rulings were made for them. When Prophet Isa came, okay, he came to ease some of those. So this is what he says. لَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Some of what you've been forbidden to do, I am here to allow you to do them from now on.
وَجِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ.
I've come with a sign from your Lord, so fear him and obey me. Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. هذا صراط مستقيم. Worship of Allah is the straight path. What we ask for every day, 10 times, this is it.
فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم. عبادة.
Worshipping Allah, this is the right path.
فلما أحس عيسى منهم الكفر قال من أنصاري إلى الله.
When he saw that the people are rejecting his call, he called out, من أنصاري إلى الله. Who are those who will help me in the way of Allah?
قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله آمنا بالله واشهد بأننا مسلمون.
The حواريون said that we are Ansarullah, the helpers of Allah. So bear witness that we are Muslim. We're accepting, we're submitting to your call.
ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
They prayed and they said that, O Allah, we believed in what you've sent down and we're following the messenger, so consider us with those who have witnessed to this.
وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ.
The others started plotting, and Allah plotted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. And then it talks about how Jesus was taken up. We know that they tried to, or they wanted to, get rid of Prophet Jesus. They sent someone to get him, and they thought they got him. They went and crucified that person, and up to now, everyone says, the Christians say, the Jews say, that he was crucified. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that he was not crucified, and he was not killed by them. لكن شبه لهم. They thought it was him. It looked like him. Now, what's interesting to me that we don't see too much of Prophet Isa in the Holy Quran about what happened with his message, how he explained, how he, the challenges that he had. And we don't hear anywhere that he dealt with the kuffar. We hear and we read right here that they all rejected, and then he called, who's going to help me in the way of Allah? Only a few. And I thought it was interesting because it seems like his job is not done. His job is not done. When is it going to be done? When the 12th Imam comes. Before or after is both narrations. It seems like before would make more sense, but I don't know. We have both narrations about when he's going to come. But maybe that's why the story is not mentioned complete. It just finishes here. And after that we have our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is where we have a lot more detail and we can trust. I was going to mention this from the beginning, but I think this is where I can mention it and it'll make more sense. We have to watch out where we get our information from, brothers and sisters. We can't just trust any old source about our beliefs. Can't just trust any old source about the stories of the prophets. That's why I mentioned or I talked about the stories of the previous prophets. I explained them with the verses of the Holy Quran, although what we have there is very little, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't trying to explain to us all the details of what happened with the prophets. There's certain points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take from those stories so we can learn from. Okay? So there's a lot missing there. But why didn't I go to other sources? Because the other sources that we have are either not from Muslim sources, which means we have no idea whether they're accurate or not. Because we don't know where they came from. The Bible that they've written about the life of the prophets and what we have today, how many years has passed? 2008, right? From Prophet Jesus, of course. Moses even before then. How do we know? How can we trace this book all the way back? Do we have any way to do that? We don't. Muslims are the only nation that have recorded their narrations and where they got them from. Okay. We have chains of narrators. If you pick up a hadith book, 8 volumes, one of our hadith books is Kafi, one of the more accurate and authentic books of hadith that we have is Al-Kafi. It's about 8 volumes. You pick it up, you see before it mentions what the Imam has said, it says, I heard from this other person, and he heard from the other person, from his father, from his
teacher, from that person, from the companion of the Imam, from the Imam. That enables us to see and check the authenticity of the hadith. Now when we come to the Islamic sources on stories about the prophets, unfortunately what we see is the majority of those stories have been narrated in the Sunni books. Now that's not in and of itself very unfortunate, because all the history books that we also have about our Prophet's life are Sunni books. We don't have any Shia source today that's an original source, okay, about the life of the Prophet. It's very unfortunate that we don't have them. I'm not saying they haven't been written. They did write. Some of the companions have written very, very nice books too. Unfortunately, we don't have them. A number of times our libraries have been burnt. A person by the name of Aban al-Ahmar, companion of the, I believe, the 7th Imam, salamullah alayhi, he had gathered a very nice book about the history of the Prophet from the Imam. He had asked the questions from the Imam. I mean, how much better can you get than that? Unfortunately, we only have bits and pieces of that narrated in a book called Tabari. And Tabari is a Sunni source, right? So only some of those passages have been. About the event of Karbala, you know, the most authentic book was a book written by a person called Abi Mikhnaf or Abu Mikhnaf. He got the story from the 6th Imam and some of the people that were actually there in Karbala. Unfortunately, we don't have the book. It was destroyed. We only have bits and pieces that have been narrated in Tabari. So anyhow, the problem isn't that necessarily because it's through the Sunni sources. That's not the problem. The problem is that when you look at these stories, most of them have been narrated by an individual called Ka'b al-Ahbar. Okay. He was a Jew. He accepted Islam at the time of the second Khalifa. He started spreading the stories of Bani Israel about the prophets, how the prophets wrestled God and things like that. Al-Ayyazu Billah. So it's not very authentic. We can't really rely on them. So I had to go through this, through the Holy Quran, to get those stories. We didn't have too much details of them. The life of the Prophet, because I'm only trying to get certain aspects of the life so we can follow through. We want to see how the movement went, okay? One general outline of the movement. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was appointed as a prophet at age 40 for about 3 years. He did not have any public calls for people to accept the religion. Only very few people were talked to on an individual basis, and they would in turn find some others that were ready, and the Prophet talked to them and they would accept it. Obviously we all know the first person who accepted was Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi alayhi. After the 3rd year, then it became public. He started making announcements, calling people in for the religion. So 10 years after that, the Prophet was in Medina. Excuse me, in Mecca. 13 years
after he was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Prophet, he was in Mecca. During this time, all he did was call people to the religion. There was no battles. The Muslims were oppressed. They didn't fight back. The ones that were not part of the more influential tribes like Quraysh were treated the worst. Like the parents of Ammar ibn Yasir, in other words, Yasir himself and his wife, the mother of Ammar, were the first shuhada. They weren't from the more influential tribes. There were others too. They didn't fight back. What they did was, these weaker people, they left to Habasha. They left, they migrated to Habasha. The Prophet stayed in Mecca. He continued explaining to people his message. For these 10 years after it became public, the main time that the Prophet would do his propagation of the religion would be the time of Hajj. As we know, this tradition of Hajj was something that was introduced by Prophet Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alihi salam. And they had that tradition before the Prophet came. Of course, it had turned into a different ceremony than what the Prophet Ibrahim had brought. It introduced idols to that, and they had changed certain things, but it was there. People would gather from different parts of the Arabian Peninsula, and the message was spread for 10 years. Just imagine the population now in Saudi Arabia. Okay, of course you have to add Yemen as well to get all of the Arabian Peninsula, but Saudi Arabia is about 20 million, and Yemen, I don't know, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20, I don't know, I don't think it's any more than that population. And you can imagine how small the population was back then. Okay, and this was something, I mean, if a prophet comes and he explains that he's a prophet, okay, the news is going to spread very quickly. So we can assume pretty much all of the Arabian Peninsula knew about a prophet that was in Mecca. They had gotten some of the message that he had, at least. Not all of it being accurate, at least some of what they got about the message that he had brought was accurate. The Prophet used the influence of his uncle Abu Talib. And we know that Abu Talib had accepted the religion. Okay. He was a believer. Some people have a problem with that, but that's, we can prove that historically. He was a believer. He supported the Prophet. In the 9th year after the Prophet had made his message public, Abu Talib and the Prophet's wife, with both, who both of the two were his supports, passed away in a manner of a few months between the two. They both passed away. The Prophet didn't have the support that he had to stay. The enemies didn't have much to be afraid of anymore. So they started plotting the murder of the Prophet. They decided that all the youth from the different tribes would gather, would take spears, and hit the Prophet all at once. So if Bani Hashim decides that they want to fight, So see, there's too many of them to fight, so it won't make sense to just say, okay, give us the blood money. The angel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet to explain that this is the plot, and the Prophet kept in order to leave and go to Medina. Now before explaining this piece, we know that during the last couple years of the stay of the Prophet in Mecca, the people of Medina had come to Mecca and they had embraced Islam. They had a dispute in Medina. There were two main tribes other than the Jewish people that lived in and outside of Medina. There were two main Arab tribes that were in Medina, Aus and Khazraj. These two were fighting, had been fighting for God knows how long, but for very many years they were fighting. As'ad ibn Zurara came to Mecca to get some support from one of the tribes in Mecca so they can fight the other tribe, Aus. When he came to Mecca, he came to know that the Prophet is there and he's got a message. And he went to the Prophet, and the Prophet explained his message, and As'ad ibn Zurara accepted. And with what the Prophet explained, As'ad said that if someone could come and teach all of us this religion, then we wouldn't even be fighting. So we asked the Prophet to send someone. Now, the Prophet sent someone. When they went, the heads of both tribes accepted Islam. So their battles stopped. They came during the Hajj season of the last year of the stay of the Prophet in Mecca. They pledged allegiance to the Prophet. They said that we are with you, we will protect you. This is after Abu Talib had passed away. We will protect you with everything we have, with our property, with our families, with our lives. Whatever you say, we will obey. So when the angel came and said, this plot has been made to kill you, the only place that the Prophet had was Medina, which at that time was called Yathrib. Then it was named Madinatul Rasul. We shorten it and say Medina. It's actually Madinatul Rasul because Medina means city. It was called Yathrib, and after the Prophet moved in, it started being called Madinatul Nabi or Madinatul Rasul. When they came into Medina, this is when we see the battles start happening. Inshallah, tomorrow night, seems like I'm going to have to continue then. Time is pretty much up. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. One of the companions of the Imam who wasn't able to make it to Karbala was Muslim ibn Aqil. He was sent by the Imam to Kufa, where he gathered the allegiance of the people and sent a message to the Imam that the people are loyal to you. When the Imam came, then the people betrayed Muslim ibn Aqil. He had two sons that were with the Imam. The Imam came to Karbala, they fought the battle. The two sons of Muslim lived through the battle. On the 10th of Muharram and Ashura, after the battle, it's been narrated that they escaped. They escaped and they were, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad sent people and said, whoever brings their heads, each of their heads will be rewarded 1,000 dirhams. So these two children were trying to find a place to stay. An old woman gave them room. And the woman's son-in-law was a person that was in touch with Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. She knew that, so she didn't want to accept them at first. Then they said, we don't have any place to go. So she let them in. At night, her son-in-law came. He came to know that the two kids that he's been looking for so he can take to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad are in the house. When they saw him, he asked, who are you? They said, will you promise us that you will not mistreat us if we tell you who we really are? He said, I promise you. He took his oath. He said, oh, by Allah, I will not do anything to you to harm you. They said, we are the children of Muslim. He said, you've been running away from being killed and you fell in my trap. He called his servant and told him to go to the river and chop off their heads. On the way there, they told the servant, do you know the Prophet? He said, how can I not know him? He said, do you know Ja'far ibn Abi Talib? He said, yes, I do know. He said, do you know Ali ibn Abi Talib? He said, yes, I love him. He said, we are the children of the Prophet. We are from the family of the Prophet. So he ran away. He couldn't do the job. The guy sent his son to do the job. They did the same with the son. Then he went over. He went to the river, to the side of the river, and he cut their heads off. Sallallahu alaykum. Ya Ahla Baytin Nubuwwah. The cruelty that we see, how could you do that to two innocent little boys? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to get deeper understanding from our religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice our religion better. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all the sins that we've committed, and forgive and have mercy on our parents and all those who have taught us the word in Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give long life and good health to the scholars, Sina Raja, and especially our leader, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.